Fenway Junior Show live on 97.1 Free FM. Yes. And joining us at Knott's Berry Farm is the host of the 2 to 3 p.m. hour every day on 97.1 Free FM, Danny Bonaducci, everybody. Look at that, man. Nice to see you, dude.
How do you say that with a straight face? And the host of the 2 to 2:27 show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're doing, 2 to 3. Yep. And with commercials, you're doing maybe 40 minutes? 41 minutes?
38.
38 minutes. All right. Not bad. 38 minutes.
I like to say this. By the hour, I am the highest paid disc jockey in the world.
I think you are. Yeah. Congratulations, man. By the hour, I'm the least highest paid. So it works out. The yin and the yang tonight. We're at Knott's Berry Farm, and it's always a great night down here. It's beautiful. The traffic was a little hectic getting down here from the valley. It took about 2.5 hours. But if you live in Orange County, the freeways are now clearing up. Come on down. They're open until 10 o'clock. It's half price if you come in right now. After 4 p.m., it's half price. So come on down. And Danny Bonaducci told me a great story. This is a very sentimental park for you, huh?
I will tell you, I'll kid around all night with Tim because he's one of my favorite people. But in all earnestness, Knott's Berry Farm is the very first place I ever took my daughter on a father-daughter day out. Because when you're a dad, and you're specifically me, you're very afraid of hurting your children. It's like, come with me, and you pull one of their arms off, and it's very bad, and their moms are mad. So I took her on a father-daughter date, and Knott's Berry Farm was the very first place I ever took my daughter on a kid and dad day out. So this is kind of sentimental for me, and thank you for inviting me, Tim.
Yes, and thanks for coming down. How old is your daughter now?
Oh, she's 24. She's just kind of stupid. she's 12 now. No, she's 13.
Is she here
now.
Tonight?
Yeah, she's 13. My girlfriend is here, a friend of ours here, so they're all riding the rides, having a good time.
Oh,
they've
fantastic.
Seen Daddy do bad shows before.
Yeah, my daughter is here, and she's out playing games on her own, but she's almost 3, so she can wander around by herself. You know?
Yeah, 3, they're fine.
Yeah, very kid-friendly park. The first place I took my daughter, and it sort of says something about the difference between you and I. Mm-hmm. The first place I took my daughter was to Santa Anita Racetrack. And we enjoyed the evening or the day out there. She was less than 3 months old when she saw her dad get photoed out for the first time.
Here's my – because now I don't do the racetrack. It's one of the few vices I don't have. But here's my question. Did you try and pawn her? Once you lost the lot, did you say, how much do you think you'll give me for the kid? Because I would have bet horse face on the nose.
No, but you know what I did do, which my wife still to this day will bring up once in a while. But I went to the infield at Santa Anita, and they have a jungle gym there. And I saw a guy with his daughter, and his daughter's about my daughter's age. And my daughter and his daughter started playing together, right? You know, in the jungle gym and stuff.
Always cool. Always cool.
Yeah, and we're trying to figure out the races and keep an eye on them at the same time. So I said, hey, buddy, either you handicap or I handicap. The other guy watches the kids. He goes, you got it. I said, I'm no good. You handicap, I'll watch the kids.
That's
so, yeah,
totally
reasonable
perfect parenting.
System now, yeah.
You know what?
He trusted me immediately with the kid. He would run him back and forth to the window, and I'm sitting there watching the two girls.
No, I would not trust you with my watch, but I would trust you with my kid. There's an innate thing about Conway Jr. here, and that is that he'll say things like that. The first place I went with my daughter, it was to the track, and he'll mean it, and you'll think, wow, what kind of guy is this? And the fact is, the nicest guy in the world, just different from you.
Yeah, just a lot different,
yeah.
I guess. But this is a great first date for somebody as well, because you can sort of bring out the kid in the person, whoever it is. You know, whether it's you're in high school or college, or even if you're in your 70s or so, and maybe the wife is dropped off and no longer around, and you're back into the dating business. This is a great first date for
you know what? You just reminded me. I was this is how long I've been around. I was 12 when I was on the dating game. They
wow.
did the Bradys did it, the Partridges did it. They did, you know, with kid versions every now and again.
Were you dating other 12-year-olds?
I've been cheating on 12-year-olds for years. No, they had me on a dating game, and they sent us here. I forgot all about that.
Is that right?
I won a date with another 12-year-old, and we went here, and it was really fun, except at 12, her mother didn't trust me.
Right.
It turned out she was right.
Yeah, no, she's absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, at 12, you still smelled of pot, right?
I still smell a pot, and I'll be 49 next week.
But you know what's amazing is your daughter is 12 years old.
13 now.
Or 13.
Yeah.
And she's here today. You were a year younger than she was on your first date at Knott's Berry Farm.
Where's my daughter? And bring her back to me right now.
But there are some great places for first dates around Southern California. There's some terrible places as well. You know, I think the Museum of Tolerance is probably not a great first date.
A bad first date. Bad first date. I will tell you, now, I cheat on dates. Now, you might find it hard to cheat on a first date, but I find an advantage in everything. I think it's a character flaw that people either really like in me or really hate in me. I'll let you decide. My girlfriend is a school teacher and very bright, and she wanted to go to the museum. So what did I do? I went the day before, studied up on a whole section so I'd look really smart, and then acted the next day like I'd never been there before. And she thought, wow, this guy's really bright. Always good. Right, always exactly. Good.
But, yeah, this is a pretty cool first date. There are a lot of places. Like, I wouldn't take a chick to the beach on the first date.
No, me either.
First of all, I don't want to show her what's under these clothes, and I don't really want to see what's under there yet. You know, just in case it's not perfect. You know what I mean? Just in
case. You hold out for perfect?
Well, just in case, you know, all of a sudden she's got a big mole on her back or, you know, she's got eczema. Looks
Dude,
like a football on her
I
back.
I hold out for most of their limbs. If they have most of their limbs, I'm fine.
You're there.
It's an excellent date. Let's go to the beach. We'll hop along, Cassidy. It's always fine with me.
Yeah, but that is interesting that you went to the museum the night before and cheated at the museum so you look smarter.
I do that a lot. Bought a video version of the show Jeopardy.
Right.
And I bought two of them and watched one at a friend's house. And the next day, because she lives with me, the next day I said, hey, you want to play video Jeopardy? And she said, sure. Smoke, Miss School Teacher, because I had just watched it a couple hours ago.
Yeah, but that's sort of like the equivalent of wearing like a padded bra on a first date.
It is. So what's wrong with that? I'm wearing one right now.
Yeah, but
it makes me feel more comfortable.
Yeah, it's sort of like cheating on the, you know, it's like showing the chick that you're smarter than you really are.
Well, no, because this is the way I figure it. If I'm smart enough to get away with that with a school teacher, I'm smart enough to be smarter than a school teacher. I don't look at it as cheating. I look at it as clever.
Right. Now, do you lie? I mean, obviously,
yes.
You were, when you started dating, you were 12 years old. But do you still lie even though you're Danny Bonaducci and you have money and you had, you know, all the success? You still are, you know, continuing on radio with all the success. You still lie to chicks?
My friends come up to me and say to me all the time, Danny, why do you lie? Why do you feel that you need to improve a story?
Right.
That was fantastic when you started.
Right.
And I said, because I think people's imaginations are limited. I say, if I did this thing and then I ran into this guy and he was 6'2" and we got in a rumble and I beat him, I don't think that people are smart enough to go, oh, how big is 6'2" compared to me?
Right.
So I make him 6'8". It's just a way of exaggerating so people's imaginations, which are not as good as yours or mine, I feel, or that we'd all be on the radio. So I exaggerate a little bit. That's all I do.
All right. It's an interesting area that the lies that you tell women. I met a flight attendant on TWA when they still existed, and she asked me what I did for a living. And I said I was a stand-up comic, right? Never done it in my life. But I said I was a stand-up comic. And she's go, oh, that's, you know, that's interesting. Where do you perform? I said, well, either the Improv or the Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, you know, do the whole circuit. And she said she's coming into town. She wanted to see me perform, right?
Yikes, tough one.
So I said to her, I said, what time are you coming in? And she said, the plane gets there at 10:50. I could be there by 11:30, maybe 12. I said, all right, I'll try to hold off until you get here. I'm at the Improv. So she gets in a cab, comes to the Improv, and I'm outside in like a white shirt with a tie on, and I put water on my face like I had just done an incredible set, and I'm standing outside, and I got a friend of mine there, and he comes up to me and goes, oh, man, you just killed. It
Dude,
was unbelievable.
You're so good tonight. You're so good tonight.
Right. And she's like, wow, I can't believe I missed this. Everybody's talking about it.
You know what? Now that I think about it, there are places to take first dates that are great. And there are places you can just make up that are great first dates. Oh, you should have been here last night. I had a great first date. You'd have been thrilled if you were here.
Right. All right. The lies that you tell women just to impress them, and they may not even be big lies, you know, like you're an astronaut or anything.
No,
like
you
that.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
I will tell you that because I do. I overly try and impress. I really do. But in doing so, I have learned how far you can go. You can't tell a woman you're an astronaut
right. And
think she's not going to want to see the shuttle. You know, she's going, really? You're an astronaut? Let's go see the shuttle. And you go, the shuttle. It looks kind of like a plane, right? That one? You got to be careful about what you do.
All right, the lies that you tell chicks, even nowadays, you know, even in your 30s and 40s, you got to you know, fudge the truth a little. Here are the phone numbers, the lies you tell chicks to impress them. 520-9710. That's 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. Now, I have a friend of mine who is a writer in Hollywood. I would give you his name, but he's a pretty you know, big guy, and I don't want to bust his balls here, because he may have told this to 100 people. But he was always telling me, and he's told me for 20 years, that he was a professional baseball player. He played semi-pro. You know, he got paid to play baseball.
Right.
And I always thought that was very impressive. And he played outfield, and I said, let's go back. You know, we went back to his house with a couple of guys who were drinking, and he's got literally a mound in the back and a home plate. And I said, hey, I said, let me throw a few to you. He says, no problem. And I'm not a great pitcher.
Right.
I can throw like 60, maybe 65 miles an hour, and occasionally, you know, drop a curveball in there, but not, you know, not great. And I was smoking this guy. I was, you know, blowing these pitches by him at 60 miles an hour. And he comes up to me and goes, dude, he goes, I got to admit, I've never played baseball.
Why does he have the whole mound in his
back? But he wasn't even lying. He wasn't even lying to just chicks. He was lying to dudes as well.
Now, I will show you. You'll have to explain this on the radio. This is a way I lie to women almost every time I meet a new girl. Watch this. Come here. 1 second. Yeah. Stand next to me. All right. This is what happens when a girl meets me. This is what happens when they wake up in the morning. I wear 4-inch heels on my cowboy boots. That's all there is to it.
Now, wait a minute.
When they wake up with Gary Coleman, they're usually a little upset. And I'll walk around their house naked and in my cowboy boots rather than show them my true height.
Wait a minute. Do you have lifts in those shoes?
No, I would not. It's interesting what I will and won't lie about. I was doing a television show with a woman who was a couple inches taller than I.
Right.
And we were standing still. That was fine. They just put me on a box.
Right.
Unfortunately, they call those boxes man makers, and I didn't like that. Can we get Bonaducci a man maker? That really bothered me. So then they decided to make my heels. These are much bigger than regular heels.
They look like they are, yeah.
They said, we'll just put lifts inside them. And I said, no, I'm this short, and I'm okay with that, but I won't hide the fact that I'm short inside my boot.
Right.
So no, all the heels on the outside, I won't wear lifts, but I will wake up in the morning and get immediately dressed before this girl even stirs, so she doesn't wake up and go, oh, my God, how much did I drink? I just woke up at the Lollipop Guild.
So it's a home run for you if the chick's fantasy is for you to keep your boots on.
Oh, yeah. I'm good.
That's a home run.
And I have chaps. I have a Harley Davidson. I have boots and chaps. I make lots of people very, very happy.
Now, how tall are you without the boots?
I'm about 5'6" and a half.
5'6".
Yep.
All right. And a half.
And a half. That half's very important when you're 5'6", bro.
Right.
It's like if I was 5'11" and a half, I'd say 5'11".
Right.
At 5'6" and a half, you throw the half in.
Well, you know, 5'6" and a half, I think, is a West Coast thing. You know, if you say 5'6" and a half in Pittsburgh, you get your butt kicked, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, out here, you can also fudge your age, too. We have plenty of callers who call up, and occasionally I ask a guy how old he is when it's, you know, in reference to the topic. And a guy occasionally will say, I'm in my late 30s or I'm in my early 40s.
No.
You don't hear that from men. You know,
no.
When you ask a guy his age, bang, 44, 38, 29, and they know it, and they
August
say
13th,
it.
Excuse my voice. August 13th, I'll be 49 years old.
49. Yeah, I'll be 45 come October 13th.
Anybody got any Botox on them? Because I really I feel like I'm aging by the second.
All right, let's talk to Humbert in Monrovia on line two. You're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's up, Danny? What's up?
Hey, man.
Hey, man, you know something? I'll tell you something. You know, I was in junior high, and I was trying to impress this girl, and we're talking on the phone and stuff, and I told her, I said, you know what? I know how to play guitar. She's all like, really? Can you play me something? I'm like, yeah, sure. Hold on a second. Let me grab my guitar. And I put the Spanish Fly on by Van Halen Van Halen 2.
Right.
And I let it play through, and she goes, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. I said, thanks a lot. Well, next time I was over at her house, she pulled out a guitar and asked me to play it. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, my wrist is sore. And
yeah, I got a memo from our boss. Try not to top your listeners. I have two big faults. I have thousands, but I've gotten memos from my bosses, and I've really tried to improve on all of them. And I'm good at everyone but two. One memo is don't try and top your listeners. Let them tell their story and don't try and outdo them. For example, he said he could play guitar and couldn't. Right. I said I could play guitar and sold 38 million albums and never learned to play. That's a kick-ass lie right there, kid. You got your name. You got your name on 14 platinum albums, and you don't play a note. That's a good lie.
You never played the guitar.
Not one note.
Or the bass or anything.
To this voice. You think I sang? You think I did a lot of singing with this voice?
That is unreal. George Carlin had a great line, and one of his good friends, Rocco, reminded me of him. But he said at one point, nobody in the world knew how to play the guitar, even the guy who invented the guitar.
That would make sense.
Yeah, at one point, nobody in the world knew, even the guy who started guitar.
Do you know what's interesting? I hope anyone thinks this is interesting, or I'm going to look like the biggest loser. Because the guy that invented the guitar originally called it the liar.
Is that right?
A liar, yeah. Until they put a neck on it, the guitar was a liar. That's what Nero played as Rome burned.
Hey, we got to just start calling this the guitar show.
Or just calling us liars and being done with it.
All right, the lies that you tell chicks, either on a first date or try to impress them, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. We are backstage here at Knott's Berry Farm, and we're located right in front of the Boardwalk Ballroom. It says Welcome to Knott's there. And they're open until 10 o'clock tonight, so if you want to come by, you get in for a half price. Or if you have a season pass, you can use that tonight, unless you have blackout dates. I don't know what is involved there.
I don't think they have a lot of those here. This is one of the more friendly parks, because I do themes. I'm a theme park fan. I'm a roller coaster fan.
Too.
I'm a ride fan.
I am, too.
So I come to theme parks a lot, and I must say this is one of the, I don't want to say use anybody else's slogan, but this is one of the more friendly theme parks there is. If you say, where is this ride?
Right.
Don't you hate it when people point and it's like 6 miles from here?
Right.
These guys will take you there. I like that about Knott's.
It's like asking for something in Gelson's, you know,
which is
really annoying, too. When you say, hey, where's the bread? And the guy goes, let me show you. I'm like, oh, no. I'll feel like an idiot. Just tell me where it is. I'll find it.
I want to be shown. I'm going to take it by the hand, and I want to be shown where everything is.
Well, you know, when I was growing up, Knott's Berry Farm was a different park. It wasn't as clean as it is now. And it was just, the rides weren't as exciting as it is. And then Cedar Point took it over, and the entire thing changed. You ever been to Cedar Point in Ohio?
Yeah, absolutely.
One of those beautiful parks in the world.
Well, they
took it over and cleaned this place up.
If you'll remember, this place started, it had a couple of rides, not necessarily big thrill rides. Like, I'm looking at some major thrill rides right now. I forget the name of that one, but I rode that. My daughter, when I brought her here,
was too short.
This one here, the catapults you straight up.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's gnarly. But my daughter was too little to ride it, so I rode it on my own. I said, you'll be safe. Hey, mister, watch her. And I got on the ride, and I rode it. And it's a fantastic ride. But when I first started coming here, because I moved to L.A. in 1964, mostly this place was known for Wild West shows.
Right.
They'd have the stagecoaches
and
gunfights. And then they got into the thrill ride business. And in my opinion, not to put down any other park anywhere, thrill rides are what an amusement park is supposed to be.
Right.
It's nice if you have a Yeti climbing a mountain, but the roller coaster goes really slow.
Right, exactly.
But you take me on a roller coaster that goes 0 to 90 in 3 seconds, that's a ride.
Right, I'm on it. Do you remember, and you may not, I know you probably will remember this, but back in Knott's Berry Farm, the first time I came here was like 1969. I may have been 6 or 7 years old. And they used to have on the back lot or in the back area here, they had like an old Western town.
Yeah.
And then they had the pool table that was at an angle, and the guy could actually shoot the pool table, the balls.
I remember that. They also had the whole cabin was tilted.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And the chairs all moved.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
I remember. That was awesome.
That is a while ago, man. That is some time ago. All right, let's take another call here. How you lie to chicks to impress them. Let's talk to a Gunner in L.A. on line 5. Gunner, you're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you, sir?
I'm all right. How are you guys doing?
All right. What's going on with you?
I hope you're going to be nice, because I think Gunner is one of the coolest names ever.
Gunner Glad, baby.
That's a great name, man. What's up?
Hey, you know, I heard you guys talking about the baseball line, and I got to be honest with you, most chicks have been burned by baseball dudes, and I actually did play ball, and so I never, ever dropped the baseball line.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they go, oh, you know, you baseball guys, you're way too cocky.
All right, so basically what you've told us is that you tell women the truth, which makes you immediately not my kind of guy.
No, I absolutely
you need to lie to women, or you're just not playing in my ballpark. So what?
Or maybe you're lying to us.
Yeah, what lie do you tell women?
No, definitely, I'm not lying about the baseball. No, I believe you about the baseball.
I believe you 100% about the baseball. I'm just wondering, if you drop a line on a girl, what is it most likely to be?
I'll just tell them I like them.
When you don't? When you don't?
Yeah. I mean, you don't.
That's a lie.
I like him.
Hey,
you're redeemed.
Hey, Gunner, who did you play for?
St. Louis.
St. Louis Cardinals?
Yeah.
Wow, look at you. What year?
2003 to 2006. I wasn't really all that good, to be honest with you. I didn't.
But did you ever get up to bat?
Yeah, I made it to big league camp 2 weeks.
Oh, big league camp. Did you ever play in the stadium, or did you ever play on the A team?
No. I got dropped back down to A ball pretty quick. There was a whole lot of guys a lot better than I was.
What position?
Shortstop.
Wow, that's pretty cool, dude.
I am not a sports fan, so I really wouldn't follow this except for the baseball movies I have seen, like Bull Durham and stuff like that.
Right.
This guy's very good to have done all that.
Oh, yeah. Listen, to get into the majors, even on the, you know.
Was that the big show they call it?
Oh, yeah, the show, yeah. But also, I mean, to potentially follow in the footsteps of, like, Ozzie Smith must have been, an unbelievable task.
Dude, I tried following in the footsteps.
I met him in spring training, man. He used to throw to first base. He'd take ground balls, 50 years old, throw to first base with his eyes closed. I said, how do you know where the base is? He said, the base never moves, buddy.
Wow. I tried following in the footsteps of Ozzy Osbourne, but they weave like crazy, man.
All right, Gunner, thanks for calling, dude.
All right, man. Just tell me you like it. I believe you.
All right, man. All right, 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. The lies that you tell chicks to impress them. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Danny Bonaducci joins us, everybody.
Happily.
And we're live at Knott's Berry Farm. Yeah, look at that, a 97.1 Free FM. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show, live on 97.1 Free FM. Danny Bonaducci's with us. Yeah!
Nice.
Look at this guy, man. And we're live at Knott's Berry Farm right outside the Boardwalk Ballroom between Accelerator and, the diner here. And what else is down there? What is the other ride? Boomerang.
Is that the Accelerator, the one I was talking about, that shoots you up into the air?
Yeah.
God, that ride rocks.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. And the nice thing about amusement parks is they all pretty much smell the same. It's all cotton candy and hot dogs. And you can, if somebody blindfolds you and put you in this park, you could tell where you were.
Let me ask you a question then.
Yes.
Dead serious. If you were blindfolded and you were in a room and there were two attractive women, you knew they were attractive before you were blindfolded, and you kissed one on the cheek and she smelled like, I don't know, Chanel, and the next girl smelled like an amusement park, cotton candy, a couple of hot dogs,
right.
A funnel cake,
right.
Which would you go for? I'm going to go for the funnel cake girl. I'm going for the girl with the funnel cake every time.
I don't know. I mean, it's nice to come to an amusement park to smell funnel cakes. It's another thing to wake up next to it every morning.
You've got a point.
Every single day, it's funnel cakes. All right, the lies that guys tell chicks, even nowadays in 2008, when a lot of information is verifiable. You know, you can go on the internet and say, hey, when you say, I used to play baseball, and they go, what team did you play for? I played for St. Louis. They go, oh, well, I can look that up.
Dude,
you know,
Wikipedia has been the ruin of me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And
like,
a lot of people don't realize that Wikipedia is not entirely true. You know, it's just people writing stuff about you.
I won't say which guy this is because he's been very helpful to me lately, but he's a big gossip columnist guy.
Right.
But he took a picture, or there was a picture of my girlfriend and I passing a wedding chapel because I had heard the rumor that Amy and I got married.
Oh, yeah.
So I sent it to him. And this person wrote a story that I got married, and not only did I get married, but I beat up the photographer and took his camera.
Wow. Why'd you do that, Danny?
You
seem like a nice guy.
I set my own camera on a parking meter, timed it so I'd be walking by, and made it up. I'm still married. My divorce won't be final for 2 more months.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'd be over there in Texas getting arrested with the rest of that group.
All right, gang, the lies that you tell chicks nowadays. Let's talk to George in Costa Mesa on line 2. You're on 97.1. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hey, how are you, man?
All right, my lie. I've got a few, but one of the big ones is I tell chicks that I'm from Scotland.
Oh, did you put on the accent?
Oh, yeah, So I come from Paisley, which is just outside of Glasgow, just west of it. Hunter Hill, to be exact, just by the train station.
Now, do you date exclusively stupid women?
Well, no, actually, my girlfriend, I'm in an open relationship. She's from Paisley, so I've been around her, and I got caught on the accent.
Oh, man.
That's how I got it.
Now, why don't you just tell her you do a great American accent as well, and you prefer to do that?
No. My girl. I got the accent from my girlfriend.
Oh, I see. Okay. All
right, but here's another way to go with that. I do speak Japanese, but I used to speak it much better than I do now. I was married 30 years ago to a Japanese girl who didn't speak any English, but I was a very bad human being at that point in my life, and she was a very hardworking, tax-paying citizen. Well, not a citizen.
Right.
So I married her to get her a green card and kind of trade America, this loser, me, for her. She had two jobs and went to school. I thought it was really patriotic, actually.
Right.
So then I went around and I would tell people, I speak Japanese, and then they started to speak Japanese back. So then I would go, do you speak Japanese? And if they said no, then I would say, oh, I do.
I think I read something about you speaking Japanese somewhere, that you were fluent in Japanese. You're not fluent, though.
No, I'm not fluent. I was barely, I was conversational 30 years ago when we didn't speak English in the house at all. And then, as my wife at the time, Setsuko Hattori, and yes, you can Wikipedia her or Google her, as she learned to speak English and I learned to speak Japanese, we realized we hated each other and were stuck together for 2.5 more years.
Hey, George, you say you're in an open relationship.
How
often do you see this girl?
Oh, all the time.
And she can do whatever she wants, you whatever you want.
Yeah. Danny, when you had that show about open relationships, I called you about that. I don't know if you remember that.
Dude, that's all I want out of life. Of course I remember that.
Yeah.
But I want it unfair.
I don't know whether it's a relationship at that point, is it?
No, well, see, I want it unfair. I want to have an open relationship,
right, but
and
not
I want to have a girlfriend who's completely faithful for me and dotes and cooks a lot of good dinners.
Ah.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a splinter version of slavery.
Yeah.
It's a big
an
splinter.
Offshoot.
Yeah, it's almost a tree.
Right, okay.
George,
thank you for calling, dude. All right, let's talk to Cam in Riverside on line 4. Cam, you're on 97.1 Free FM with Tim Conway Jr. and Danny Bonaducci. How are you?
Pretty good. How about you guys?
All right. What are you lying about?
I tell girls that I'm a professional skee-ball player.
Skee-ball? Are you any good at it?
No. I'm not a player. I don't know. I've played twice since I was a kid.
Again, do the women that you date, do they have to mandatorily wear helmets? And the reason I ask is because it's skeetball, isn't it?
Oh, it's skeetball?
It's not called skeeball.
I don't
it's
even
skeetball.
Know. When you're in an amusement park,
you roll the thing,
it's
skeetball.
It's like down the midway, like Santa Monica Pier.
Yeah, I see. All right. And you know what? That's great, though. If you can convince a woman that you're in the professional league of skeetball, you're a great convincing person. You should be a lawyer.
If you could pick up a girl by saying you're a professional curler,
right?
That's that game where you use the broom and the thing that was in a tea cuddle.
Some people.
I'm such a groupie for those guys that do that game.
Right. In bars in like Toronto and Montreal up in Canada, there are guys that say that.
Oh yeah.
I'm a professional broomer. You know, I'm a broomsman.
What the heck is that? I just said it. I can't forget. I can't remember the name of it at all.
What?
The thing with your broom. What's it called?
What? Curling.
Curling, right. I'm a professional curler.
I have the same short-term memory as you do. As soon as you said it, I lost it.
It's out of my mind, yeah.
All right, buddy. We thank you for calling there.
All right, have a good one.
All right, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. The lies that you tell those chicks, man. Just to try to get them to enjoy you. Let's talk to Robert on the 210 freeway on line 6. You're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you?
All right. Great, great. Hit the daily double today right now.
Hey, fantastic. What'd that pay?
No, I'm just talking about you guys. I know Danny. I'm a little
bit. Look at you.
I'm more interested in what it paid in Del Mar.
No, Timmy's the big one, but Timmy's the big long shot in the first race, but Danny was the chalk in the second because I know Danny. He said he just doesn't follow horses, but I know he was around the horses on the Partridge Family. He was on. There was an episode they had a racehorse, Reuben, won. Remember that, Danny F. Scott Fitzgerald?
F. Scott Fitzgerald, of course I do.
You remember that, don't you? That episode, okay?
Do you
so
know
that's
that
what I do.
Was the original Trigger? Is it not Trigger? Was it Silver? Silver from the Lone Ranger.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was.
Is that?
Yeah,
I didn't know
that.
And they wouldn't let me ride it. That horse had its own horse stunt double.
Robert here. Let's ask Danny a question and see if how much he knows about horse racing. What is the reference to chalk? What does that mean?
The chalk?
Yeah, if a horse is the chalk, what does that mean?
You don't know.
People really like him. Then he might win. Then he's going to be the winner.
He's going to be the favorite. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Look at that, all man. Right. Look at this. Danny Bonaducci nails it.
But do you know why they called the chalk? The historical reference to that?
Because he's going to cross a chalk line first before the other horses.
No.
I think it's back when they didn't have official betting, and they used to have it on a chalkboard.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think my dad told me something about
that.
Still in Ireland, they have the chalkboard where you can go outside of the track and get better odds in the parking lot.
Oh, okay.
I like that.
Yeah. That's what we need out here.
Yeah, enjoy yourself. All right, buddy. What is the lie you tell people here?
Yeah, I tell chicks I own racehorses, man, because I know so much about it. I'm like you, Tim,
right,
and
right.
I can reference to it.
That's a good one, man.
And how about when they say, "Let's go see one of your horses run"?
Well, I got a ranch, and I still got one horse left. I just say she's recuperating.
Oh, I see.
But that's not bad because a lot of people, my friend David Cassidy, has half a dozen racehorses.
Yeah,
and
in New York,
I've never seen one of them, and I've known that man my whole life. And he's not kidding. He just, they're in like Kentucky or something where they keep racehorses.
That's why I was disappointed in you, Danny. You were my hero because you were the rich kid on the Parks family, and I always emulated myself after you when I was growing up.
Well, then I'm sure. Really? How many times have you been to rehab? I just want to see if you're still emulating me.
I can still remember that episode, man.
Well, then you went up on me.
Yeah. You know, my dad at one point had like four or five racehorses, and one of them died. And it got hit by a hammer. A hammer fell on the horse's head, and it died. And
what?
I said, just it got hit in the head once with a hammer and died. He said,
"Well,
it didn't get hit just once." I said, "How many times did it get hit in the head?" My dad said, "Why don't you ever friggin' win? Six times."
Oh, Jesus.
Six times, and it's
over.
Oh,
man.
All right. I know. When you tell dead horse stories here, kids hate it, but what can you do? It's a part of life.
I'll tell you the truth, though. I've never met anyone personally that wasn't already super rich, so it was hard to tell. That made money by owning horse races. It seems like one of the most expensive things.
It's very expensive.
I used to live in Chicago, and outside Chicago, they had some of the biggest ranches that I ever saw, or whatever they're called.
Right, yeah.
And those things must have cost $15 million just to have with tracks, because the tracks are on their own property.
Right.
You got to feed them, you got to train them.
Right.
I've never met anybody who said, I own horses, and that's my living.
I have never met anybody who owns horses and said they've made millions. Never.
You know what's
and I've known a lot of people who have horses.
I've known people that have said, I'm very wealthy. I make adult pictures.
Right.
But I've never met one that says I own horses and I'm going to make a living.
Once in a while, a guy gets lucky and he'll pay, a couple $100,000 for a triple crown horse. But that's so rare. I mean, it's like winning the lottery.
Now, is that one of those things? I heard about this, so I could be completely wrong. And if I am, just tell me. Aren't there races, they're called claim races, where you win the other guy's horse?
No, you can a claiming race is, like, let's say it's an $18,000 claiming race.
Right.
You can buy the guy's horse for $18,000. But the moment that race starts, that horse is yours. So if that race starts and that horse breaks down and dies on the track, your $18,000 just bought that dead horse.
Wow, that's not as good of a deal as I thought it was.
Yeah, that is absolutely right. All right, Robert, we thank you for calling, dude.
All right, dude. Later.
All right,
take care, man.
All right, folks, the lies that you tell chicks still, try to impress them, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710.
Or you can still come out here to Knott's Berry Farm.
We're here for a while.
We're not going anywhere.
We'll be here till 10 o'clock, and the park is great. It's nice. It's about 72 degrees down here in Buena Park. So if you're leaving the Valley or the Inland Empire where it's 100 degrees, come on down and enjoy yourself. We'll be here till 10 o'clock. Danny Bonaducci, myself, Tim Conway Jr., and we're live at 97.1 Free FM. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. Danny Bonaducci's with us, everybody.
And it's a
Look
pleasure,
at
thank
that,
you.
Man. Awfully nice of you to come down on a Friday. I know you're a single man, and Friday nights are very important to you.
Well, actually, I could not be less single tonight.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry.
I've got my girlfriend with me tonight, and she has my two children with her, and we have our nanny assistant chef
Jamie
friend
Gwen.
Right. With us, and she takes good care of us. And that's my little daughter right there.
My
little daughter. That's my
Excellent.
That's my teenager. How weird is that I have a teenager?
That is great. I hate to say this, but fortunately, she looks like your mom.
Yeah, no, I'm down with you, man. I'm good with you.
You know, when they're younger and they say, wow, she looks exactly like you, that's sort of like a compliment.
Right.
But when they turn 30 and they look like you, it's a major problem.
Especially if you're hideous.
Right.
Yeah. And with a goatee, if they came up to me and say, hey, your daughter looks just like you, I would think, well, she should shave.
I've just been told by Knott's Berry Farm that my daughter's no longer allowed to play any of the games anymore. She's won too many toys.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, I've never met anybody that won too many toys.
She's got to take a powder. I don't know how she's doing it, but she's winning more than her old man. Got to take her to the track, you know? She's hot.
I was just thinking, if she's throwing that fast, she probably already took a powder. But that's my kid. Sorry.
All right, the stuff that you make up to try to impress the opposite sex there, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Let's talk to Sonny in Seal Beach on line one. Sonny, you're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you?
No way. What's going on, Timmy and Danny?
Hey, dude.
I love both your shows. Way cool, way cool. Good stuff, good stuff.
Thank you,
hey, Tim, I want to ask you a quick question. Do you know if the Ace Man's calling in tonight?
You know he's not. He's in Las Vegas.
Yeah, he's in Vegas tonight for some kind of event. He's broadcasting tomorrow, I think.
I think they did a show last night, and they played it tonight, or this morning.
Yeah, I heard it. Right? Pretty rad. Danny, how's your butt doing, man? That was the gnarliest, like, most graphic story I've ever heard in my life.
Now, I actually checked with my boss to see if I could tell the story, because it is not gratuitous. There's no sex involved with it. It is not a dirty talk at all. It was a medical procedure.
Oh, good.
Right.
I've got a fight coming up with a guy who weighs 215 pounds, and I weigh 165. So I've been really hitting the weights hard. So I tried to bench press 300 pounds, and...
No, no. Are you kidding?
Popped out an intestine. And it had to be put back. And it was horrifying.
Was it like a prolapsed colon?
Dude, it was, yeah. And I had to go back in. No, because then it was a drag. You don't want to get too far into
you
this.
You could have been at the L.A. Zoo.
But I went with my girlfriend. She took me down to this clinic because I don't have a doctor.
Wow.
It's like, if I'm not bleeding, I'm not sick.
Right.
And I was bleeding, so I was sick. So I go down to this clinic, and I said, there were three women there, three nurses, and they said, can you tell us what's the matter? And I said, no, I can't. And they said, really, it's all right. And I said, no, I really can't. And they said, sir, we are medical professionals. I said, no, you're going to laugh. And I said, I'll bet $50 when I tell you what's wrong with me that one of you at least laughs. And they said, you're on, sir. And I looked at them, and I hope not to offend. I said, my rectum exploded. And the two in the front were cool, but the one in the back cracked up, and I had to have it put back together. But I can, in fact, bench 300 pounds, if anybody
can. Yeah, look at that. Plus, I was wondering why you were always going alone on these roller coasters.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to sit next to you.
I've got a little padding going on. I'm not kidding. You don't want to get too far into this story, man.
All right, Sonny, what's the lie you tell these chicks?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel kind of bad revealing this. It's a nationally syndicated radio station, but here we go. I tell women that I'm a massage therapist, and it works like 2 out of 3 or most of the time. Like, it's pretty good.
You rock.
Is that right? Wow.
You rock.
That's pretty cool.
Do you have your own table?
You know what? Like, usually, like, it's at a party or whatnot, so there's a bed, so, you know, just practice and show up.
You know what?
Stuff.
If you don't have your own table, oh, this is such a good one. I want to help.
This is really
good.
Yeah,
I want to help. If you can't do the, like, table thing all the time, they have those ones where you sit in the chair facing backwards and your face sits through that hole, and you can just do their shoulders and back. They're like $150. Dude, you so need. If you're going to pull off that lie, you need to invest in that. As a matter of fact, if I can get rid of this Danny Partridge face of mine, I'm going to say, I swear to God, I'm a massage therapist. I'm Danny Partridge's cousin, the massage therapist.
Exactly.
That's awesome
good,
one.
Sonny.
That's a good one.
All right, Sonny, we thank you for calling. All right, let's take one more quick call, then we got to take a break here. Jay in Chatsworth on line two.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, how are you, dude?
I'm good. How are you?
All right, what do you got?
Well, I told your screener, it's not really a lie, but I tell them I work with disabled children.
And is that the truth?
Yeah, it's the truth. It's what I do, and I've gotten...
Where do you work at KLSX?
Oh, yeah.
You're burning in hell, right?
Yeah.
You're aware that you're going straight to hell. Right?
Okay.
I work for a company called Big Fun.
No, but you know what? A, that is really good of you, and if B, that helps you with the opposite sex, which... is my goal in life. No great offense to my girlfriend, but in my opinion, there are only two topics. I got this radio show on this premise. I said to Jack Silver, he said, what would you talk about on your show? And I said, there's only two subjects that matter in the world on a station like this. Women and money and how to get more of each. Right. And he said, you're hired. So this guy is doing a wonderful thing for mankind that gets him chicks.
Right.
Dude, it you does. Rock. You're my new hero.
I'm married now, but when I've done it for
well,
a long
dump
time.
Dump her. What are you, stupid?
You know what? You got to combine Sonny and Jay together, your massage therapist who just massages underprivileged children.
I'm telling you, you put a little altruistic edge on whatever you do, and the chicks love it. I've had girls tell me I'm a hero.
Wow. All right. Well, I don't know what hero might be a little, a bit of an exaggeration.
Well, I
think the hero is the guy in Iraq that lays down on a hand grenade and saves his buddies.
Oh, that's true.
I just want to be the buddy.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Thanks for calling, Jay, and congratulations, buddy. Doing some great work out there.
I will tell you this. I have never been to a chiropractor in my whole life because I think they're witch doctors and voodoo, and I don't believe in it at all. Then I did this wrestling show that I was telling you about with Hulk Hogan.
Right.
And there's a guy in it named Butterbean who is only 5'10" and weighs 425 pounds.
I've actually seen him fight out at a Reseda.
He jumped off the second rope onto my chest.
Oh, Jesus
and
Christ.
Every bone in my body cracked. And they had a chiropractor on the set. And they carried me to him. And he did a couple of snaps and I could walk.
I walked
back into the ring. So I am now a new fan.
Yeah, I've seen that
guy. I mean, I'm not sleeping with the guy. Forget it.
I've seen the guy fight, and that guy can really kick some butt.
You know what's weird? He must have a perfect body swing, because when it came to, like, feats of strength, there were stronger men than he on that show. But some of them were 7 feet tall, and he's only 5'10". But he must just have the perfect body and arm connection, because he knocks out guys that should stay on their feet, and they don't.
Exactly. All right, we got to take a break. Danny Bonaducci's here, everybody. And we're live at Knott's Berry Farm. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live right here on 97.1 Free FM.